Hello and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. Today, I have my partners Ryan Barnett and Matt Lockhart with me. Revenue Rocket is the world's premier growth strategy and M&A advisory for tech-enabled services companies. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Ryan. Good to be with you.
We're screaming into spring here. Have closed out Q1 and great to be with you. And for those of us who hunker down and hibernate in the great white north, it's pretty nice to feel the sun. Right, Ryan?
Oh, absolutely. It feels like a bit of a winter in a couple of ways that we're hoping turns into a blooming spring. And one of those things that we're talking about today is in times of economic uncertainty, much like we saw in the winter of 22 and the beginning of 2023, is what can tech-enabled firms do to really start to get through some of that uncertainty and turn it into a great spring and summer. So I have some questions for both Matt and Mike here today on what that means for customers and what that means. So Mike, could you in tradition get us started on what happens during an economic downturn typically for B2B and IT services related companies?
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. As we saw some softness in Q1, and probably extending a little bit into Q2, although we're starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel with additional opportunities for our clients. Certainly during times of uncertainty, buying cycles elongate with your customers. They begin to cut discretionary spend. They have all these, different levels of approvals, and things start to become much more hard to move deals forward. And then you start, having more competitors sort of in the space. And I often joke, you're always in competition with someone who's going out of business. So there's people who are, much more aggressive on pricing than you may otherwise see. And sometimes that can create a disruption in the marketplace. And so, we're going to unpack today a little bit on the podcast how you can insulate yourself from some of those things and certainly fortify the business for growth during these times of uncertainty.
Yeah, I think it's easy for decisions to get delayed. It's easier for people maybe not to say absolute no, but for people to act upon things that are more pressing, especially more pressing on something that regarding splitting, losing money or losing or spending money unnecessarily. For they may not shoot for the moon, but Matt, I'd love to get your opinion. What happens to that in here, but also, is everyone impacted by these same cycles?
Yeah, Ryan, just to add to kind of what Mike was saying is by experience, partial budget cutting, right? As he talked about, just new customer acquisition can be tougher. Customers tend to delay starts of work or starts of new contracts, and or as I mentioned, they reduce the spend. Oftentimes they may renegotiate and look for discounts, right? We'll get into a number of these things, but I think that in what's in, oftentimes important is that it's an opportunity for technology firms to sort of reevaluate what is most important to their customers. What are the most important and or core services that are most valuable to their customers? And making sure that you're aligning all of your motions
towards, you know, what's really, what's going to be most attractive to your customers. Now, sure, as you mentioned, not all firms are affected equally. You know, some things are more important and they can't be cut, right? Cybersecurity being a good example of that. And or cloud, you know, modernization, because the payoff is just so distinct. But I think that in sort of analyzing what are those things that are less likely to be affected, and then how do you play into, you know, how do you play to those, play your strengths against those opportunities that aren't going to be as likely to be cut.
Yeah, you bring up a really great point, Matt. When you have something that is extremely valuable and is something that almost in that can't cut category, that becomes something you invest in, and that is something where firms can grow through the investments in that space. You know, when we look at our client base of technology enabled services business, oftentimes those are the critical functions, the remote work type functions, the always on type backup and recovery, or the always on the office. I think those are if you're part of a category that is critical, that's going to help your growth. Same thing goes when you're trying if you're trying to sell a company at this point, or you're trying to buy another company, you're going to look for those companies that can have strong cash flows throughout any kind of economic downturn. And tech-enabled services, because of the work that you do today, can really enable enough cash flow for you to be attracted to buyers, and also for buyers to put money in safe havens. To kind of go back to the strategy side, Mike, I'd love to have you dig into a little bit of what are some ways that clients can, or that technology service companies can make sure that they're companies continue to grow through times of tumult.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think the days of, you know, what I call much more AFAB or anything for a buck regarding technology, either deployment or support or you know, really implementation of apps, have long been over. But what's important to note is that our fastest growth and most profitable clients are the ones that certainly can weather any economic either downturn or uncertainty better than others. And the best way to do that is to, you know, certainly specialize on what you're best at, right? Specializing typically means picking a very finite set of service offerings or technology sets that you specialize in, whether that be in, you know, managed services or cybersecurity or custom development or app implementation with a specific app or whatever that might be, you know, specializing in those technologies and being the best that you can be is super, super important. Obviously, then deploying that against an industry or vertical is, we think, also very important. It's certainly proven to be the fastest path to growth and profitability and prosperity amongst our clients. And, you know, the fastest growth, most prosperous firms are certainly ones that specialize in sort of a finite set of offerings and deploy that against a finite set of markets. The more narrow that is, typically the faster they grow. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Certainly there's, you know, the market set will look for specialists, in the technology as well as specialists in their industry when they're looking at competition. In a period of greater competition, you'll stand out and be at the head of the line, with those buyers. And we've certainly seen companies that do that well grow through downturns, grow through economic uncertainty, grow through things like the pandemic. You know, they've been very, very effective at continuing to grow and be what I like to call up and to the right on the growth chart, while the market may be somewhat tumultuous. And I think a thing that a lot of firms overlook is really making things easy to buy. And this has a lot to do with productization of services. So it's not a complete Chinese menu that customers get overwhelmed with. It needs to follow a pretty prescriptive approach about how a customer can engage. And it has to be easy to understand and easy to buy. And I would say saying that is much easier than doing it. You have to think a lot about, you know, is this a branded service? Does it have a finite price point? Can you engage with that client in a way that is makes it easier for them to say yes? All those things are critically important. You know, and they align to an offering we have here called Specialized, Verticalized, and Productized, SVP. You can learn more about that on our website at RevenueRocket.com. But we've certainly found that to be, over the time, the best strategy to, as I say, go up and to the right.
Yeah, Matt, I know you've done a ton of work in this area to help companies get to a place where they can really address the critical needs of their customers. Can you expand a little bit on some of the details there, or what companies should, or what IT services companies should start to do to start honing those offerings and start looking at vertical markets and positioning kind of what they do?
Yeah. Let's start at some core principles, right? How strong is your customer and market analysis and research, right? So how well do you know your customers and their needs within a vertical or within a segment, you know, for example? And there's a ton of market research and that's a great place to start. But then validating that research against A, the work that you're doing today, and then B, continuing to really engage your customers in a consultative manner to understand, do they align with what sort of general market research can be? I think another, you know, really strong strategy is to, you know, understand within your technology capabilities, do you have partners and channels, and really ensuring that you're in alignment with your key partners, your key technology partners, both in their go-to-market, be it a vertical go-to-market or a segment go-to-market, as well as in the you know, sort of the specialized differentiation, right? So it's just this constant analysis and feedback loops of, here's what we are today. Here's what our customers and the market is needing today. Here's what they're talking about for tomorrow, right? And here's our roadmaps to be ahead of our competition in meeting the customers into the future, but then also ensuring that you're competitively differentiated, meaning you're doing it better. You've got the specialization that Mike talked about. Now, working in a downturn is actually a really interesting opportunity to sort of apply these things. Of course, you are going to want to you're going to want to cut your own discretionary spending. So you may not be going to market actively with new offerings or advanced offerings in that downturn. But what a wonderful opportunity to plan and be readied internally for when, you know, the gas starts coming back, right? We've helped a number of clients in those phases and do just that. And so, you know, and then the sort of the last thing that I'll say is that customers are cutting discretionary spending, but you know that the champions, that the business leaders want to turn that back on. And so being able to ensure that you're going to be in the game is thinking about applying those same planning and road mapping activities that you're doing internally along with the customer, and looking for opportunities to potentially invest in key customers, so that, you know, basically you've already got a seat at the table, you know, when the market turns and the spend returns.
Yeah, great summary, Matt. That's really helpful for a customer to understand that. Mike, is there anything, if you look at this economic downturn when it comes to, or just change or tumult, maybe not necessarily a downturn, but can a company use mergers and acquisition to help build a strategy like this? Or is this something that you need to do in-house or both? Or how does someone start to formulate and integrate an SVB strategy? And how does does that play into acquiring a firm to help with that?
Well, I think, you know, our experience tells us that most firms have some level of concentration in markets, you know, and they may have a sort of undeclared vertical just by the nature of, you know, if one, for example, education-focused client, you know, begets another, or whether that's a manufacturing or financial services or wherever it might be, right? Over time, you tend to attract, you know, those birds of a feather type clients, and oftentimes you become more verticalized than you might think. Certainly leveraging, you know, a couple thoughts are, when I think you have to have a, you know, fortified organic strategy in order to really get your head around what is an ideal strategic fit as it relates to acquisition. But part of, you know, the thesis around doing any acquisition is that, you know, there's going to be a strong strategic fit that will complement your organic strategy. Certainly there needs to be a cultural and financial fit as well. But, you know, buying a firm that has strength where you might have some opportunity or weakness can help you fortify your strategy, right? And purely from a growth perspective, that is sort of a smart business decision. We've often said you leave about 50% of your growth potential on the table, but not having a proactive M&A initiative going on. I think in particular in times of tumult, that's important. We tend to see more sellers at least be open to having conversations when there's more economic uncertainty. And that can sometimes make at least getting a conversation going easier. You know, may make getting a conversation going with a firm that in the past wasn't open to the conversation of being part of something bigger, open their mind to having that conversation, and you just never know where that might go. So I think, you know, there's a couple of things that come together here that I think are important. One, you can look to fortify your own strategy and approach and customer coverage by, you know, looking at doing a transaction with a very specific profile. But beyond that, you may be also in a position to have more conversations than you might at another time in the economic cycle, just because, you know, people are more open to exploring various opportunities and thinking about doing business differently.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Mike. I didn't hear anything there about people willing to sell their company for less and kind of take less. Or buyers getting a deal. It was really interesting for you to say you can increase your market share and your abilities by buying the right company and combining forces at the right time. And that strategic growth can really help through acquisition to either build an adjacency type strategy or double down on your vertical markets and or enhance some IP. To help kind of a win-win deal on both sides. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, I mean, another comment on that is, you know, I think conventional wisdom would tell you, you know, over time in other industries that time of economic certainty would mean that there'd be more, you know, for lack of a better term, desperate sellers or sellers that might just want to get out because they're running into such material, you know, economic headwinds. One, I don't think that's the case economically right now, but two, something that's probably changed since the financial crisis of, you know, 2007 and 2008, where that did occur, by the way, is that, you know, technology now is just so much more integrated and seen as a requirement, for companies to operate and be more efficient. And in some sectors, you know, of tech, we're seeing actually firms buying more, end user clients buying more technology in order to be more efficient, maybe be able to rationalize staff even. And I certainly think that trend will probably continue as we look at, you know, how AI impacts markets. And, you know, it also means, and this is a sort of a fascinating thing I've tracked over the years, is, you know, technology is a growing sector of the GDP, certainly displacing other sectors. And it grows, you know, at about 1% of GDP per year, which is a phenomenal growth rate. And when we begin to model that compared to where it is now at, you know, you can argue it hovers around 30% of the GDP. You know, in 20 years, we could be in a situation, if it continues to grow at the current pace, at half of GDP or a big percentage, a much more material percentage of GDP. So anytime you have a sector that's growing at that fast, taking share, GDP, you know, share, gross domestic product share, from other areas, I think it's seen as absolute mission critical, tool. And, you know, thankfully for those of us that work in and around the technology world, it means that we're somewhat fortified from, market tumult, in it, having it be more catastrophic and thus impacting valuations.
That's a great point. Mike, Matt, that's the last questions I had. Matt, I'll turn it over to you for any closing thoughts.
You know, I was thinking about one thing as Mike was talking about that. You know, regardless of whether or not your firm is how much your firm is affected in a downturn or when there is softness, keep your best people. When you're thinking about cutting, if you're cutting right appropriately, cut in those areas that is not affecting your ability to deliver moving forward. So if we think back, oh shoot, 6 months, 9 months, people, it was all about people. It was like, I can't find good people, right? There's a scarcity of resources. It drove acquisitions, right? And sure, there's not as much need right now, but in 6 months or 9 months from now, boy, I guarantee you, you're going to want to have all the people that you have on board today. So keep your people and invest in them, especially in times of downturn, because when you're coming out of that, that's going to be a real competitive advantage. So last little thought there. Over to you.
Thanks, Matt. And with that, we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week's Shoot the Moon podcast. I encourage all of you guys to tune in next week for more tips and tricks and tidbits on growing your tech-enabled services business. We'll be unpacking some further thoughts about growth strategy and M&A at that time. Thanks again, and make it a great week.